can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Why is it coming through the headphones? Hey?
I don't know.
Are we speaking to anyone on the phone? No, we're not. Anyhow, there you are. So we've got it in stereo. Now, speaking of speaking to... So first of all, we've got Heidi Victoria in her regular segment.
Nice to be back.
Thanks, Heidi. And we've got Richard Wollstonecroft from the Melbourne Underground Film Festival, Dick from Muff, as he is
otherwise known.
Otherwise known. And Sue Stanley on controls and
camera.
Technical assistance.
She's under control.
And well, the reason I mentioned the headphones, we don't need the headphones today because our very, very special guest, Dr. Ben Fordham from Sydney and Australia and the world, he has got in contact with us and he's going to come on in again, but he's on furlough. I think the ratings must be on. He's taken his missus and the kids, so I don't know where he's taken them, but he's not ringing in today, so... If you're hanging on to hear the doc, you have to hang on no more because he's not coming in. Now I thought, Heidi Victoria, we might ask you an area that you would have expertise in, that is as a member of ex-member of parliament, because there's two issues. We've never discussed this before.
Right.
Not you and I, but we've never discussed this on this show because I don't have any skin in the game at all. But this is the Palestine-Israel conflict and the world is turning on Israel because the unintended consequences of war is that there's plenty of deaths, not only the people you fight but also the people that are collateral damage.
Yeah.
And the great ally of the United States and Australia and all the Western countries seem to have been Israel, but now it's turning because there's an election coming up in the United States and the activists and the lobbyists are saying it's a disgrace that America provides weapons and ammunition and munitions to Israel, who is their ally, and they use them to kill innocent people on both sides are being killed, so I wanted to ask you this, Heidi. As I say, have no...
I love it when you get that twinkle in your eye. I know
no
I'm about to be put on the spot.
Skin. Well, we'll put anyone on the... I've no skin in the game at all. But as I understand it, and you can tell me, and Dick, you can tell me if this is wrong.
Sure.
This is not correct. As I understand it, on October the 7th, Hamas got into some hang gliders... And after a pretty well-prepared, we're told, strategy on how to kill Israeli people, they invaded Israel and bombed and shot and raped and pillaged and murdered and...
Kidnapped.
Kidnapped about 1,300, killed about 1,300 Israelis. And then... The Israeli government took umbrage at that. They thought, oh, no, this is not good. We will retaliate and have been doing, I think it's gone on for over a year, has it?
6 months.
6 months, is it? October the 7th. That all right? Just work that back, Dick. That's quite right. 6 months. And they have said, Israel, just tell me if I get near this wrong. They have said, well, we've got to wipe out Hamas, who instigated all this, if you think that they weren't pushed by Syria or Hezbollah or Iran, but they, Hamas have, and they said, we'll push back on it and we'll wipe them out, we'll wipe them off the map. And so far, they've been trying to do that and there's been plenty of casualties and deaths and women and children on both sides. And people are starting to say, oh, this is not right. We better have a ceasefire and we better ask for the hostages back. But the other mob, they don't want to do that. They want to still keep fighting. So, what am I asking you? Why I'm going to say this, why would we not, why would America, if they say, or Australia, if we say they are our ally, Israel, because they're a democracy in a area where there's no democratic government at all, and they've had a good relationship with America and Australia, why would you suddenly start to falter on whether you should support them or not? Because what's the alternative? They pack up and go home, and then Hamas regather and do what they tried to do in the first place. So where's it all going to end, Heidi Victoria?
Well, isn't that the $65 trillion question? Because there's never going to be, I don't think, peace in the Middle East. I think you're going to have real problems over there forever. And I've been there. I've been over to Israel. I went into a Palestinian camp as well. I've been down to Gaza and through that area. I've got to say the hair stood up on the back of my neck and I got out real fast. I went to an amazing town called Sderot, which is the most bombed city in the world. And it was shocking to see what was happening. So I don't know where it's going to end, and I don't think anybody can say they do. But I think one of the things we really have to say is Hamas don't walk around with bandanas on saying, hello, I'm with Hamas. So there is going to be collateral damage as long as the war continues. So unless one side or the other says, we now call a ceasefire and we all stick to it for the sake of all of our children, and I mean children of all ages, including adults, but the children of this country, then I think it's just going to keep burning.
So as I understand it, Dick,
yes.
As I say, there's so much propaganda from both sides that you just don't know what's going on, but they say Hamas, they embed themselves in the areas that they know will...
What proof is there of that?
Pardon?
What proof is there that they're doing all this? I mean, you know, the Israelis say that, but there's no proof. They're basically attacking a civilian population because of maybe 1,000 terrorists, right? It's like saying the city of Hobart has 1,000 terrorists, so let's carpet bomb everybody who lives in Hobart.
Yes, if I could finish that.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I said there's so much mis or disinformation, but they say that the Hamas people have no interest in either protecting the lives of their people or the Israeli people, and they embed themselves in the areas where they'll be most provocative and most people will be provoked into thinking they're attacking hospitals because they have their headquarters and their cache of weapons underneath the tunnels of those places, and in order for Israel to wipe them out, they have to attack them and there's collateral damage. So if they pack up Israel, if they pack up and go home, then what?
Well, they're not going to pack up. They've got nuclear weapons. They're armed by America. They're armed by the UK. They've got more weapons than probably any country on earth.
Well, let me ask you this, Dick. They've got nuclear weapons. Why don't they just drop a bomb on the region?
Well, they don't want to drop a bomb on
Gaza. So what's the point of saying they've got nuclear weapons? What's that mean?
Well, I guess it's a self-defense thing. You know, they use it for self-defense. You know what I mean?
Like, well, they are self-defending themselves. I'm not sticking up for Israel. Sure. They are self-defending themselves.
Oh, they are.
They're trying to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Obviously, there are. If they use the nuclear weapons, mind you.
What's that?
That would happen if you use the nuclear weapons.
Yes,
you know,
they wouldn't wipe themselves off. They'd wipe the people that dropped the bomb on.
But it's a deterrent, isn't it?
Yeah, they use. But obviously, there are. I mean, you know. Other problems, you know, like, you know, basically as you know, you've been there. I mean, Israel is in a place surrounded by, you know, the majority of the Muslim world, and the majority of the Muslim world can't stand not only the state of Israel but Jewish people in general. You know what I mean? You know, even though there has been some historical times when Arabs and Jewish people have lived together, because there has been diaspora communities. You know, there have been times when they have got along. I just wish it would return to that. I think strong leadership in America, like the fact that we've got Biden, there's no way I think this would be happening under Trump. You know what I mean?
Well,
Ukraine.
What would Trump be doing?
Well, he would just get in there and bang a few heads. He'd say to the Palestinians, "Listen, you know." Not only will Israel be doing it, but I'll be doing it if you try any more of that bullshit. And I better have the hostages back by next week, or else we're going to be joining them. You know, he'd say to the Israelis, look, you know, maybe enough of this bombing hospitals, enough of this bombing, you know, people, aid workers.
They say that's where the Hamas have gathered, underneath the hospitals. Why would they be bombing the hospitals?
People say what's going on at the moment,
or the food camps,
is genocide. I mean, that's a kind of, you know, a thing that's being thrown around. Now, I don't know. I mean, it's debatable whether it's genocide, but it does seem that a hell of a lot of civilians are being hurt in this pursuit of a small group of terrorists.
What? But it's the small group of terrorists, as I understand it, in 1948, I think they were ceded, they were given the State of Israel.
By the English?
By whoever, by a United Nations.
I was going to say it's United Nations, so yes, that wasn't so their choice.
All the Jews decided we'll congregate there, and now the Palestinians and the Arabs.
It started before.
They got their, yeah, of course it did, but they were given that land.
And now, with
encroaching into territory and pinching land, and now they've given it back and whatever, it's got to the stage where on October the 7th, 1,300 of them were killed, and now they've, people around the world have got their nose out of joint because they're fighting back. And if you don't fight back, what's the alternative?
Question for you, Sam.
Yes.
Was it the UN's right to give that land? I mean, if that land already belonged to somebody. Yes. So, for example,
the British
here in Australia,
yep.
The UN comes in and says, you know what, Victoria, let's give Victoria over to the Martians, right?
Or the Aboriginals.
Or the Aborigines.
Well, I'm making it as, you know, far-fetched as possible and, you know, just, as they say, can't talk about a particular case. So, you know, the United Nations come in and say, we're going to carve off this bit of Australia.
Yes.
How do you reckon that'd go down?
No, that's a very good analogy, Heidi Victoria. But it wasn't just the United Nations. Are they a toothless? What didn't they decide? The whole world decide? Or?
Well, a lot of people don't believe the United Nations should exist either.
Correct. Yes. Because obviously there's a League of Nations, which, you know, collapsed in the 1930s.
Yep.
So if you don't think, if they were given the land erroneously or was just thrust on them and taken off whoever owned the place or was there in the first place, a bit like here, we'll get onto a bit like here in a minute.
Well, the land is significant too, obviously, religiously. It's significant for Christianity, Judaism and for Islam. And there are, like, stuff all over the place. You know,
absolutely.
And it's the Holy Lands, right?
Yes, exactly. And when you go there, when the British see were there, everybody combining.
I think it should have stayed British.
Nobody's killing anybody over
it. Think if it was part of the Commonwealth. Imagine if Israel or Palestine or whatever you want to call it was part of the Commonwealth.
Yep.
And then we had a little peacekeeping force and the Christians could go there, the Jews would have be, and then the Muslims could come and do their
thing. But you've got the religious zealots who are the...
But they've been allowed to grow, you see.
That's what religious zealots do.
Correct.
That's right, and the majority of people are reasonably peace-loving on both sides, but that's the people who just want to...
Correct.
They just want to terrorise
people. Cause trouble.
Yep. Hence the name, terrorists.
Well, it's the same as in politics. You know, people used to say to me, what's the difference between one side or the other? And I go, okay, there's a lot of people who are moderate on all sides, and then there are the extremists, and I don't believe there's room for extremists in anything.
So what is this is how this started off. What is the options Israel has? Is to pack up and go? Is to what they've either got to go on with it and try and wipe Hamas out, but they're backed by Iran and Syria and Egypt and Hezbollah and all that.
And or, who says somebody walking down the street is Hamas?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. They're not branded. So, exactly. Yeah, very difficult question.
And so the support, the Palestinian supporters in America, they go on rallies and they're defacing. That's a bit like Black Lives Matter. They're going around America trying to get the government to back out of it and not supply munitions and not supply weapons. So do you turn your back on your ally, do you, in the name of a political expediency? Or do you have a principle that you adhere to?
No, I think there needs to be a compromise. And that's what life is about. And it's funny because, you know, Lindsay Fox said to me, he actually says it to me almost every time we see each other. He says, do you know the secret of a good marriage? And I say, yes.
Yeah, tell us that, will you?
Yes. Big diamonds. No, his he actually said compromise.
Yes.
That's the secret of a good marriage because everybody is different.
Same
and
with
you
diplomacy.
Can't agree on everything.
Okay, so you reckon the Hamas people would compromise, would you? They,
no,
they won't
I don't.
Give the hostages back.
I don't.
And they
think
won't
they
stop
will.
Fighting and they won't. And
that's why we don't have the solution.
I think
because neither
been an
side will compromise.
Extreme polarisation in the region, you know, where you've had the Zionist right really take charge in Israel, and then you've had the radical, you know, terrorist. You know, groups take over in Palestine. So you've had a kind of radicalization on both sides, and both sides absolutely hate each other.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've got a perfect recipe for the nightmare we're now living in.
And it's born into them. You know, they are
on both
yes,
sides.
Brainwashed from birth.
So
it will perpetuate.
So we ended the Northern Ireland thing. Remember Northern Ireland? That was seemed to be intractable, but then that sort of chilled out in the late 90s, didn't it?
Yes,
So it's all about religion. Everything that's going on, Uganda, Myanmar, is that
Myanmar.
Burma? Is that
Burma?
Burma,
yeah.
Yep.
Let's call it by its colonial name.
Anyhow, it's, the whole world is... It's about religion. So I'm going to ask you this again. We read again atrocities, and they bombed the World Kitchen and killed an Australian.
Dreadful.
And they said, "I'm sorry, that was a mistake. Probably mistakes are going to happen in war."
But didn't they have three goes at that truck? That can't be a mistake if you have three goes at the truck. But
no, I think
they're deliberately
blowing up. I mean, I've heard another thing that they've said. Oh, you know, if you because people are starving, they cut off food to Gaza, which is again a very extreme measure. And they said, oh, there's going to be some food here. And then when people gathered, they bombed it. So you know, this is when people begin to think, hang on a minute, this is no longer just trying to get Gaza.
Yes, but they
it's trying to clear the land. I mean, basically, let's be honest, they want the people who live in Gaza to go away, right? And now the Muslim world could take in the Palestinian people en masse, and you know, I mean, the Muslim world's pretty big, you know. Obviously the Palestinians wouldn't like that, but that is one solution.
So, if you are in Parliament and asked to vote, Heidi Victoria, as an ex parliamentarian, would you say
state, not federal? So we wouldn't be dealing with this, but yes, go on.
I said an ex parliamentarian.
Yeah, no, as in, like, we wouldn't be dealing with this if I was a
wouldn't
state
we? Well,
parliamentarian.
I think every...
It would be given to the
every
feds.
Council votes on what they think
oh,
they should do. Everyone says, oh, yes, we're passing a resolution that we want Israel to withdraw and have a ceasefire. Why would they do
rates,
that? That's my
roads,
point. Why would they? Why would they do that? They've gone this far. Why would you suddenly up stumps and go home? You either got to go on with it or it's going
and that's
to...
The there is no solution. There is no solution right now.
There are a couple of solutions. None of them are pretty, though.
No, but because then you say they have nuclear power and all that. What's that mean?
It is literally, I mean, those who arm themselves with nuclear weapons is a deterrent factor as much as anything
else.
Well,
it hasn't deterred Hezbollah or Hamas because they know Israel have got nuclear weapons. It hasn't worried them.
But they're a non-nuclear power, the Palestinians. So the only way
that's
they can fight back is with rocks or, you know, whatever that attack was in October
but
the 7th.
To Heidi's point, that woman, said that, no, quite rightly so, that it's a deterrent. It hasn't deterred Hamas. They couldn't give us stuff. They got nuclear weapons. They went and bombed them and infiltrated and kicked 1,300 of them.
The Muslim world is fairly united.
Didn't worry them.
Against Israel,
yeah.
The state of Israel. And there's a billion of them.
Yeah.
And they're the kind of people who have, you know, similar attitudes to, how things were 1,200 years ago. So there's no sign that they might not still feel that way in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're dealing with a real problem. And even the CIA has been worried about how long the state of Israel will exist because eventually some radical Muslim group will get hold of a nuclear weapon and, you know, place
like it. Like Iran.
Exactly. Of course, that's the worry. And they'll place it in Tel Aviv. And I'm afraid that's how it will end.
But
with
if
a rogue nuke going off in... and then, of course... Israel will then fire its weapons.
Yeah.
So,
and the Holy Lands are gone.
Yeah, but the fallout will be so much greater. And you're right, the Holy Lands will be gone.
Yeah.
So you
where Jesus was born and crucified.
Yes.
Been all
so
there.
In something more immediate and more local. So yes. Do you support? You can support, of course. You support the protests and the marches up, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic marches by the pro-Palestinian people here in this city and over in America, saying to cease fire and withdraw and stop the genocide. What is the point of doing that? You either
what
withdraw.
Do you do?
Yes.
Do you sit down and just get frustrated from within and end up, you know, having a heart attack and dying? Or do you let it out? As long as the protest is peaceful,
no, but
I love the fact that people want to go out and actually have their say, even though it makes no difference.
That's
it
the
makes
point.
Them
it makes
feel better.
Does it make a difference whether it's peaceful
doesn't
or not?
Does it make a difference
make
to what's
difference?
Going over there?
It makes no difference at all. And,
oh.
And even in Israel, they are
protesting yeah.
against the
Libya.
War. Netanyahu.
Yep.
So what?
Try that in Russia.
Yeah. So what is the point of protesting? Is it trying to influence politicians who make the decisions and the
yes.
Munitions companies not to to supply armaments to the people to
not,
fight
no,
with?
No, not the munitions companies, but certainly it's meant to influence the politicians.
So
I mean, we'll
so
go
they
back
want
to the Vietnam
to influence
War.
The mm-hmm. politicians to turn their back on someone they said was an ally, that's Israel.
Yes, but there's two sides protesting. So everybody's trying to influence the politician, regardless of what the politician's view is, they're trying to get their view across to them. So, I mean, look at what happened in the Vietnam War. I don't know whether you were part of any of the protests, but I've got a girlfriend in the States who, you know, got out there on the Washington Memorial and did all the protesting and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, and they do have an effect. I mean, look, if you look at Richard Nixon...
It does have an effect if it's en masse.
Richard Nixon obviously strongly opposed people protesting, but he did... When he saw the amount of it, he began to think, well, we've got to end this war.
Ah, you know right. I mean? So there we are. So if you think the protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters here marching or over in America, you think they will eventually change the policy of the government that they're protesting against to change their stance with Israel and withdraw and leave them on their own?
No, I is think what's happening is people are... Because of the noise coming out of protests and things like that, I think what's happening is you're getting people understanding that there are two sides. Mm. And, you know, if one side is vocal and the other side is not, then all we hear is one view.
Yeah.
So you're getting the second side, and I feel for the Palestinian people.
Mm. Yes.
And the footage is horrible of all the dead children and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, horrible.
I feel for the Palestinian people. I feel for the Israeli people.
Yes, well, that's
I
good. I'm glad you
so
feel for
sorry.
Both sides.
Absolutely.
Well, where's it getting us? You'll find
at the moment, nowhere.
You said both sides protest here.
Yeah.
Very few of the Jewish people are game to go out and protest because they'll get belted from pillar to post and
yeah.
They get doxxed and they get their businesses targeted.
Yeah, that's shocking.
There's different
absolutely
rules.
Absolutely shocking.
So, yeah, well, it is, but so it's no good.
But that's why I'm saying peaceful protest. You know, when you go out and start...
That's just a pipe dream.
It is.
Well, look at the Black Lives Matter people in America.
The right is kind of divided. The right wing is kind of divided on the subject of Israel. Like you have like Murdoch and a lot of Fox News, and they're often a very pro-Israel. But then there's another aspect of the right that are like, what the hell's going on here? Why are we supporting all this, you know? And also, like you said at the start of the show, what's the skin in the game? Why? I mean, you know, there's a certain extent, say with Saudi Arabia... or some of the Arab rural states, we don't like them, you know what I mean, but we tolerate them because of, you know, the oil and stuff. But with Israel, it's like, well, what are the natural resources we're getting? And there's an element of the right that think that. And so at the moment, there's the far left that are almost all pro-Palestinian, anti-Zionist, and then you've got an element of the right that are with them, which is very odd, very strange bedfellows. Mm. And then you have, I guess, the centre-right, the Fox News, you know, Ben Shapiro, that are all pro-Israel. So
yes.
That's the way of land.
So if you were Jewish, Heidi, or you were, or if I was, would we want? We would want our country, our Israel. We'd want them to keep going, wouldn't we? Or what, so we just say, oh no, we've had a crack at it, and now we're going to wimp back to our place and
I
let
think,
them regather.
You know, Israel's a strange place, a very beautiful place. But if you talk to people and you say, you know, what, where are you from? And they say, I'm Jewish. Whereas I don't say I'm Christian or I'm whatever else. So they equate Israel with their religion. So it's a bit more, it's a bit different.
It's an ethnostate.
Yeah, it is. And that's a bit different to some of the other stuff that's going on.
It's a bit like saying Australia is just for white Anglo-Saxon people.
Yeah. So, and the, you know, the point is that there are lots of people in that region who live in harmony.
Mind you, they got a bit jumpy probably because, you know, Hitler tried to wipe them off the face of the earth. So they've probably got a bit jumpy about people who attack them.
Hitler tried to wipe an awful lot of people off. It wasn't just a religion. It was, you know, gays.
It should also be remembered the communists killed over 100 million people and we don't really ever hear, you know, much about the victims of communism. Pol Pot, Stalin, and they were killing their own people. They weren't even killing their enemies.
The Houthis and the... They just found...
Absolutely.
9 million bodies. What, the Houthis and the... are the other people called? The Houthis and the...
The Tutus, was it?
The Tutus, that's exactly right.
In the Ukraine, there's an event called the Homolodor, you know, under Stalin, under the Bolsheviks, killed around
Ukraine
10 million people.
Ukraine and Russia, it's all going
so on. There's a lot of horrible things that happened in the 20th century. Obviously, what happened to the Jews in Germany is part of that. But I see it all collectively as just the kind of product of totalitarian excess on whether it be left, you know, Stalin, Mao, or on the right with, you know, that Austrian corporal.
No extremism is good.
So
it can't come to any good.
So the bottom line of this is not a statement, this is a question. There is no alternative, is there not, for the Jews, for Israel just to keep going.
I don't know.
But just to keep going. And they've taken a bum rap for killing
lots of different people. The town of Rafah. There's one area left that hasn't been targeted yet. And I guess maybe they're thinking leave that alone because it is a city.
Yep.
And obviously if they go in there, it's going to be even like probably double as bad as it's already been. And obviously world opinion has turned, so they have to be careful because obviously they don't want to be hated by everybody.
Yeah, and the world opinion is turning.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, they have to be careful right now.
Yep.
We've got a whole lot of different... we've never spoken about this before and with this whole lot of other things to talk about. So this is down your alley again.
Crumbs, glad I came in.
No, well, this is...
I feel like I'm in the hot seat.
Button, the hot,
I was going to say, where's Eddie McGuire? I'm in the hot seat.
Well, the Victorian government, the remnants of the disgraceful government that was Jacinta Allen has taken over from, is now they're putting together, I think, in spite of the overwhelming no vote for the... the no yes vote for the what was it called? For having the...
The Voice.
The Voice.
They're going to put a treaty of their own. They're going to present a treaty of
That's been going on for a long time.
The Victorian government's treaty. Since the no vote was overwhelmingly accepted?
No.
Before that.
So there were discussions back in 2017, treaty discussions started.
About?
About treaty.
About...
What does that mean exactly?
Well, that was the good question. Mm-hmm. So I was certainly at the first because I was Shadow Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. And so I was.
Oh, well, we speak to the right person.
The expert.
Or go maybe ahead. Not because I was never minister, which means you have to find out your own facts rather than being fed them from a department. So I did go to the first major meeting. It was over at, I want to say, Plenary.
Yep.
So next to Jeff Shedd there. And it was all the different peoples of Victoria came together and talked about what treaty might look like. And just the, you know, it was streamed as well. So they told us X amount of people were online watching. But they wanted a treaty by the time 2018, by the time the election came around. And
to do what?
Well,
to have a different set of rules for
no
Indigenous
I
people as opposed to other inhabitants of the country.
No, although that sounds this morning on the news like what Jacinta Allen might be talking about.
No land tax.
Yeah.
Free education.
Yeah, I have a problem with an
interest rates,
unequal
none.
Society.
Well, this is why it was so divisive. This is the whole point of it all.
Mm.
What is the point of having a no vote and yet people go on and on with it? Is it okay for Indigenous people to set up a camp up in
Canberra?
No.
Oh, I was going to say the tent embassy.
Here in the Botanical Gardens. What's that called? Fucking, what's the
Botanical Gardens?
No, what's the park called there? Jesus. No, what?
The one near the shrine?
The King's Domain.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Queen's.
It's what's well, called Queen. The King's Domain.
Oh,
is
and
its
now.
Name.
Yes,
it no, but it now. Was called. It still is the.
Oh.
So they've taken over that and they have campfires going on. Is it?
Oh, I haven't been down there for a long time.
Oh, well, I was up there the other day.
Mm.
So at what stage do you say, well, hang on a minute, there's got to be some sort of order. You can't just. Where does that all start and end? They want to stop people rock climbing now up in the Arapiles, up in the Grampians, because they've suddenly decided this great tourist attraction that people come from all over the world to climb the Arapiles, rock climbers.
Why would you stop that?
Why would you stop it now?
Why would you stop people climbing up
Ayers Rock?
Yeah, that was
okay,
crazy.
So I was at Uluru in January.
Yep.
And I hadn't realised it was so long since they stopped people climbing. It was back in the, I want to say, late 80s, early 90s?
No. I've been up.
I've climbed it.
Yeah,
as a kid.
I didn't, because I've got to tell you.
It is high. It's scary.
I was going to say very. Oh, yeah. No wonder people were falling off.
40 years, you reckon, they've stopped.
Well, anyhow, we'll
take that on advisement.
It's been a
been a long time.
So
maybe
why?
10 or 20 years.
Why has it suddenly become a monument to
political correctness, mate?
Why has it suddenly?
Or has it always been a traditionally sacred site for the first peoples of this land? And they say, "Well, okay, so that
the
was
original
great."
No one's taking
it away from them.
The previous
sacred site for them, but why can't we all enjoy it the way we like?
The previous inhabitants of this land, what did you say, the original First Nations people were us? First Nations people were the people here when we were made a nation. The previous inhabitants are the indigenous
custodians.
People. Hmm?
The first custodians, how's that?
Who are they?
The people who looked after the land.
How did they look after it?
Well, they weren't big on agriculture, were they?
No, anyhow, that's
no, they
a different.
Don't need to
that's
be,
a
but
different
that, I've got to say, that's it, you know, it's a really interesting thing because the more you
it
know
is.
About it, the more impressive it is about how they did things like controlled burns. Like, we wouldn't have half the bushfires if we allowed people who know and understand the land to come in and manage it. And they used to do controlled burns. And then, you know, they were really smart.
For what reason?
There were no supermarkets back then, surprise,
that's
surprise.
That's right, to
so
sustain
what they would
themselves.
Do, yes, they, yes. They would go out and burn a small area and obviously make sure it was contained. Mm-hmm. Then X amount of weeks later, like, you know, 6 or 7 weeks later, small green shoots would come up.
Yep.
That's when the kangaroos and things would come because they wanted the new green shoots. And that's, of course, when they could go and do their hunting. So it was much easier because the kangaroos.
So that's how they looked
area.
After the land, by
and I think,
having
yeah,
controlled burns and sustaining themselves.
Absolutely. And they did it so that
it wasn't
willy-nilly.
Developing a nation.
They have a special knowledge that maybe. Mm. And I've heard that sometimes, you know, they've tried to advise green groups, you know what I mean? And the green groups don't want to listen to them because
the
Aboriginal groups want to do some burning and. And they're like, oh, no, you can't do that. And it's like, hang on a minute, we've been doing this for thousands of years here.
Yeah.
We actually know about what we're doing.
Yeah, and we'd have a lot less people dying in bushfires if we could actually control some of our bush.
There you go.
Well, there we are. Well, at least I was... these are
we touched on a lot of topics this morning so far.
We've actually touched on two.
Right.
One was the Israeli-Palestine conflict, and we just touched the outskirts of the new treaty, which is... going on despite the fact that the overwhelming vote was no, but no one's taken any notice of that. We wasted $500 million on it, so we're still going.
Why do you think they haven't taken any notice? Because it's strange, because it's happened over in Adelaide too, hasn't it? In South Australia, that this going ahead with the voice, like at a state level.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
The Melbourne City Council are going on with them. They're going on.
You running for council?
No, I'm not. Now, so people often ask about the Lord Mayor, and I had a
because I'd come in as your deputy.
So what? Say hypothetically, I became the Lord Mayor, and you my deputy. You became my deputy.
Mm.
Then what? How would we change what goes on in Melbourne? What power would we have to change anything?
Well, we could certainly do some stuff maybe about graffiti.
Well, that's I've been going up banging start. On about this for years.
Yeah, well, bike lanes. Bike lanes.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, we would get to choose where the bike lanes are.
Rubbish, litter.
Yes.
Graffiti,
yes.
The homeless. Yes. Well, I've done all this before. Yeah. This was when I was actually going to.
That's why I think you should run.
No, but if you have to, you don't have a. You don't. You are not the. You don't say. You have to have people side with you, and you have to do factional stuff, and you have to have people.
If that's right. Wanted, so you get all of your mates in there too, yeah. And you make a pact, and you say, right, we're going to have more people on council than the other lot who believe something different, which is exactly what happens at state government level.
You could have a minister for propaganda. And
I think we should have one for weather control.
You could really sort of like turn it into a totalitarian experience. What about
he's wearing all red today.
What about the backlash with the... people are just finally realising that the electric industry, the electric vehicles is an absolute hoax, an absolute money grab for the people who want to control different aspects of the world and society. And
how we've do you figure that?
Because there has been people go to parliamentary and they ask the questions. They say, do you know the companies want to electrify the transport industry, the big trucks? And they say, do you understand? No one understands just what it needs to power a truck.
You have absolutely. You need diesel.
You need diesel, which is fossil fuel. And there's more reserves of fossil fuel and coal in this country and in America lasts for 200 years, and yet you're turning your back on it to what? To placate something that has no effect on the climate at all, and that's carbon emissions. No effect. This is human effect. None at all. And there's that many people coming out now and saying this is ridiculous.
Yes, Sweden turned against it.
Hmm?
Sweden just turned against all this.
We can have all electric cars you like, but there's nowhere to charge them, and the cost of charging them means you've got to find some energy source that powers them, and there's no energy source that powers them other than fossil fuels or nuclear. And what's the point of it? People's costs go up, their cost of heating, their cost of energy, their cost of... It is a hoax.
Yes, you don't want to be plugging electric things in when electricity's gone through the roof. And where does our electricity come from? Hydro's great. Fossil fuels. Hydro is fabulous. But that's not the...
It's not enough.
The solution everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like days like yesterday, how would we have gone? And that's, you know, in Melbourne it was absolutely hooning down.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we have gone with solar power yesterday?
Very well.
And then but you put up with the people sitting on the road protesting against the Climate Act.
There are other ways of doing it, but yeah.
So what did I ask you that for? I said to you, why did
third hot button topic.
Oh, the electric. No, that's right. The electric vehicles and you can't cook with gas. I mean, have you ever heard anything?
My mother was a restaurateur, and I've got to tell you, I'm a very keen cook. And I'm not giving up my gas anytime.
Exactly. And anytime well done for saying.
Didn't Daniel Andrews want to get rid of people's stoves? I thought he's really gone too far.
That's already legislated.
Yeah, that is.
Is that legislated?
It's legislated that any
gas cookers into new buildings. Homes. Now that's true.
Unbelievable.
And I'm very glad you said the word correctly, restaurateur. Yes. You didn't put the N in it.
No, restaurateur.
Yes, restaurateur, not really? A restauranteur.
I would have said restaurateur.
No, because you're
uneducated.
Yeah, well, you're partially educated, you are, Dick, but restaurateur, I like that. Well done, Heidi Victoria. So there we are. So we are going to come back. And we're going to speak about the football and what you can call people if you play sport. Can you slag them? And I know that the bloke got pulled up. We'll get on to that and some more. But we did Israel. Where'd we get with Israel? You think Israel should withdraw now and cease fire and just scamper back to where they came from and let the world sort it out? Do you?
I do believe you've just put words into my mouth.
No, it was a question. I said, so
no,
you
I
believe.
Said I don't believe that there is actually a solution right now until both sides get their
so
heads
you said
together.
So you think Israel should keep fighting and dropping bombs until someone works out a solution?
Well, I think they need to sit and actually try to make a solution.
With whom?
The
they've
other
tried
side.
To sit down there, but they've tried to do
well,
that.
Well, perhaps the Palestinians.
Biden sends that Blinken.
Yeah.
That dopey, the most dopey. Dopey regime you could ever see. They said Blinken over, and the other bloke.
You're saying he's a Blinken idiot.
He's like a robot.
They just speak shit, and then the United Nations sit and the council sit around and they vote. They have long vacuous speeches about fuck all. They're just.
It's almost like they enjoy the conflicts. They want them to go on. You know what I mean? And it's the same with Ukraine. You know, like Blinken announced recently. That he really wants Ukraine to join NATO, which is exactly the thing that Russia doesn't want, because that's the thing that really created the conflict. Anyway.
Now, we'll finish on this, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
So if you are not interested in any of this, if you're not interested in Israel, or you're not interested in what else do we speak about, the new
vehicles.
Treaty that's going on, perhaps skip to just part two of the podcast. Don't listen to part one.
Too late. If they've listened this far, too late.
Righto, that's it.